to The Chase Down on Leverage the Chat. I'm Justin Rowe with my co-host Carter Rodriguez. Because Carter complains that I never ask him how he's doing when we have a guest on, I'll ask you this time. How are you doing, Carter?
Justin, this is really rude. We have a guest on. Don't put our squabbles in public like this.
It's good for mediation.
Mike, did you know that this was actually your job today? Was just a.
I was gonna say, do you guys need a minute?
I mean, we need several minutes, but ultimately we're okay. Justin, how about you introduce our guest?
I might as well do that. There's a long list of needs right now, but yes, we do have a guest. Excited to have Mike Malloy on the podcast, Boston sports fan, comedian. Mike, why don't you tell the people about yourself?
That pretty much describes most of it. Sports fan, comedian, now living in Los Angeles.
Is leaving the Danny Ainge hive mind, like, is that problematic for you? Are you going through a withdrawal?
No, I've become more of a Celtics fan since I left than I was when I was there. I love everything they've done. I think they're a power forward away from making some serious noise.
Yeah, we figured this was the best time to have you on because there's no point where the Celtics are more relevant than November.
Yeah, exactly. They haven't lost since Kyrie told that guy to suck his dick. It's the best. I love it.
He got out of the passive-aggressive LeBron shadow and just went directly at it. If LeBron was angry at a fan, there would be like three Instagram posts talking about some obscure thing and the organization would panic that it's about him.
He'd be drinking rosé and shouting him out, but instead of just coming at them directly and being like, hey, maybe you should suck my dick, and then going on about his business.
I like to imagine that Kyrie was like, that was like the way he started camp, was being like really passive aggressive, and then like Marcus Morris just popped him in the mouth. Like, listen, pal, we're not doing that here.
I don't think Marcus Morris can risk another infraction right now.
Too many assault charges on that resume.
Do people still believe that he's like was secretly suspended?
I
heard people saying that, like, oh, he's not really injured. He's like secretly suspended. I'm like, that's ridiculous.
I would like to imagine a world in which Adam Silver concocted a league-wide conspiracy theory for Marcus Morris, but I don't think
so.
Yeah,
like that even, I don't even think if they suspended him, he would have been like, yeah, don't do that. Because like, yeah, no, fine, suspended for a couple of games. It's November. Who cares?
I mean, if Marcus Morris gets in big trouble, like, That could really cause the league to lose a lot of its sponsors. Like, you're losing a few big names there. You just don't want to be associated with that. Mike, do you ever get tired? I'm sure as a comedian, you get this a lot when you go out and you tell people what you do. Do people, like, just tell you to, like, do comedy? Like, hey, be funny.
Not as much anymore, because I think we've made it clear that we don't care for that. For the most part, I tend not to bring it up until it gets asked of me, and then there might be a couple questions, but for the most part, it's not too bad. Especially in Los Angeles, everybody's something, and everybody wants to talk about what the fuck they are, and nobody cares, so you can get away from it pretty quickly.
Yeah,
it's like, I'm a comedian. Oh, yeah, I do improv. Oh, I don't give a shit about that either, so why don't we go back to our drinks?
I feel like nobody has one title in L.A. Like, I'm going strictly off stereotypes because I've never been there. But I feel like everyone's like an actor / comedian / waitress or waiter.
Yeah, you gotta be able to do whatever menial task you need to do.
Incidentally, there's only one occupation in Winnipeg, and it's mostly just moose hunting. That's primarily what Justin does. He's a moose hunter / moose hunter / moose hunter
/ beaver hunter.
Sure.
We wear a lot of
hats.
All about the pelts up here.
So do the Cavs suck?
The Cavs do suck.
They kind of suck, huh? What do you think, Mike?
Rub some salt in our wounds. Let's go there.
It's November. It's November. It'll be fine. The Cavs will be the Cavs. They'll be in second or first or second place in the East. It won't matter. They'll win Eastern Conference Finals probably. Unless they're really banged up, I really don't see a scenario where the Celtics beat them in the Conference Finals. As much as I like this team and as much as they've exceeded my expectations, I still don't think they have enough to get by the Cavs if the Cavs are healthy. Obviously, Isaiah Thomas being healthy is of big importance. You know, Dwayne Wade hasn't looked great. Derrick Rose hasn't looked great. Tristan Thompson is Tristan Thompson. I've never been super impressed by him. But, I mean, LeBron's also LeBron, so you got to take that into consideration.
Tristan Thompson turning Al Horford into a pumpkin doesn't impress you?
No.
I'm disappointed at how disinterested you seem to be in talking shit, because I think Justin and I are just going to keep doing it.
Oh, because I'm one of the only reasonable sports fans from Boston who doesn't get worked up about this stuff. It's sports. It's great. I love it. But I don't get too riled up because it's a bunch of young boys that play for the sports company in my hand. Like, who cares? There's no personal gain that comes with this other than like being happy for a day, I guess.
It's some good escapism. It gives you something to talk about, something to connect to other people. But you're right. Like, it's nothing really worth getting worked up over. I'm mostly here for the jokes, like whether it be opposing teams or the Cavs. I know we get some feedback that we've been too negative early on, but it's like, this is how I deal with it. It's like, I'm not actually going to get mad about this team sucking in November. There's plenty of hilarious things to talk about and to point out with the team. So, I mean, sports are ridiculous when you really sit down and take the time to think about it. So why not have some fun along the way?
Exactly. Like, that's the best thing, is like the league is the best that it's ever been right now, because it's so much fun to watch NBA basketball right now. And like, not many sports can that be said. You know, baseball, not that fun to watch for the entire season, certainly not the beginning stages, but like, this is the beginning stage of basketball and it's already dope. It's already like hilarious shit going on. It's worth watching. It's same with like football. Like, football, oh, you know, everybody's losing their goddamn ACLs, and it's just like, it's not as fun to watch. Basketball, pretty damn dope.
There was a really interesting, I was listening to the Ringer's NFL show, and they were, and Mays and Clark were talking about how like Goodell will like cite off these facts like, oh, X amount of people are watching, or like, our quarterbacks aren't actually bad. We have X amount of stats. And it's like, if everyone agrees that it sucks, it sucks.
Yeah.
I really like the way they put that. It's purely democratic.
Yeah. It's a meritocracy. We'd keep watching it if it sucked. Like, all these shows that get canceled and they're like, oh, bring it back. And they bring them back and then they get canceled again. It's like, yeah, dummies, you know, your cute little smart show wasn't that good. Not enough people liked it. So it didn't keep living on.
I didn't expect to
explain why. So if you have to explain why something's entertaining, it's not entertaining.
I didn't expect to generate, like, because I, you know, it's Justin and I's big dream to be aggregated. Like, someone's going to take something from this pod
someday.
And I didn't expect it to be Dan Harmon fans aggregating us.
Oh God, that's exactly what's going to happen. We're going to get aggregated for that, and it's Mike's going to get all the credit, and that's going to be our, like, the closest we get.
And I'm okay with
that's
that.
That's all I've ever wanted,
to be aggregated on someone else's podcast. I think that's the dream. We'll put that on your headstone when you die.
So, Mike, make us feel a little bit of pain right now. Well, how much have you enjoyed Kyrie so far?
Kyrie's been fantastic. And, you know, I was not always a Kyrie fan, and I was not sure. I certainly had my hesitations about the trade and, you know, giving up that pick, because there was a couple guys draft that I was really excited about, like Luka and Marvin Bagley, specifically on that team, because of the fact that they need a power forward, or, you know, I guess he could be classified as a center as well. But, you know, what Kyrie's done for that team, you know, I didn't expect it to be this much this soon, that's for sure. I think if you put one more player around him, and I don't know if there's going to be somebody that comes up with, you know, buyouts, or if there's going to be somebody in the draft that's available, depending on that Lakers pick comes to fruition, because it's going to fall between, what, 2 and 5 for it to
invest. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if that pick falls between 2 and 5, maybe that, you know, Bagley is there. Maybe he'll get that guy. But, you know, I think they're in a lot better position than the Cavs are next year, because it doesn't sound like LeBron's quite happy there, which I'd be very concerned about.
Yeah, we're plenty concerned.
Always concerned. Yeah. Like that's my resting state. But yes, this season hasn't done anything to make me feel any better.
The worst thing
were
with
you aware? Go ahead, Carter.
I was just gonna criticize you. I just think the worst thing that you do is pretend like you're kind of okay with it if he leaves, and I think it's bullshit.
I want RJ Barrett, man.
Yeah, RJ Barrett. I just think you're like sometimes you get you're like over the drama that accompanies LeBron, and then like you convince yourself that arguing whether Manny Harris was a rotation player or not was fun, but it wasn't fun. Okay. it was never fun. It sucks.
Manny Harris suffered career ending freezer burn. Like that's one of the funniest stories of all time. Like
just like his current Cavs team, don't confuse interesting for good.
You know what? It's funny because I go through this process every year, and I think the same way from like November to February. And then when LeBron starts trying as the playoffs approach, all of a sudden it's like, okay, yeah, this is really fun. This is great. But you're right. Sometimes the drama can be exhausting when you just want to come home and enjoy a November evening game, and they're blowing it against every single team that comes into the arena. It's just too much. Mike, were you aware prior to the trade Danny Ainge was selling? Oh, go ahead.
I wanted to bring something up. What more is LeBron supposed to do for you? He came back. He got his time. You can't hold anything about this against him. He doesn't want to play for that dickhead. I don't blame him. And like at this point, it's like the girl that you dated in high school. After college, you end up shacking up a little bit again, and like eventually you realize, yeah, we're not for the same, we're not for each other anymore. Again, you go on. You had a good time. You enjoy that time you had together. You got what you looked for, and just let him go. He'll be fine. You guys will be fine. You'll rebuild.
We won't be, but that's the big problem with your analogy is that we won't be fine. We're going to be terrible forever.
If he does leave, Dan Gilbert is still going to be there. Maybe.
Yeah, no, he'll have to sell it within a couple of years, I bet. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up selling it within 5 years if LeBron leaves.
That'd be okay. Yeah, like I think that's the only like gripe I have with that analogy is like it's not like two equal parties like dated for a while, realized they weren't for each other, and like go on to find love elsewhere. Like we outkicked our coverage and we're just clinging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's basically how I live right now.
It was a courtesy that they stayed that long. It was a damn near charity, and they were able to accomplish far more than they should have in spite of you.
In your analogy, what has this relationship yielded comparable to the title? Is that like cranking out one kid and the kid team turns out okay?
Yeah, the kid's fine. You're gonna figure it out. You're gonna co-parent him. You always be tied together in some way, but you know that you don't want to fight in front of the kid, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, like it's a good kid. It's not going to be a rocket scientist or anything like that,
no.
or athlete, but it doesn't set like cats on fire or anything like that.
But it's a pretty good kid, and yeah. You guys will be okay.
A solid B minus of a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. His name's like Greg or something.
Greg.
You know?
Greg.
We'll always have Greg.
We'll always have Greg or the 2016 championship. I mean, that's what I mean. I think from our perspective, it's just like, it'd be cool if it kept running, but if it doesn't, we understand. we'll be bummed, but we'll understand. I think that's kind of where Justin and I are at.
Yeah,
pretty much.
That makes sense.
But unfortunately, they're going to cancel our pod if he leaves. So please, LeBron, this is our lives.
We're milking it for all it's worth and while it's still around. Mike, were you aware that Danny Ainge was trading the Cavs a counterfeit dollars with Jay Crowder? That he was just...
They lied to us.
It was an anomaly.
They lied to us, Mike.
They lied.
Listen, I was a big fan of Jay Crowder when he was in Boston. I was very sad to see him go, especially at the contract that he was at, because, you know, that's a fairly good contract for what Jay Crowder's produced. But he has been a shell of himself, and he sort of got my boy hurt. So, you know, not a fan of his work this season, to say the least.
Who's your boy? Oh, Gordon.
He got Hayward. Yeah.
Well, I feel
it wasn't. I mean, obviously not his fault.
If anything, like, Kyrie got him hurt through a very ill-advised lob.
Very dumb pass.
I was worried Kyrie was never going to pass again. He's like, this is what happens when I pass. Guys die.
Yeah, he's just got to hold on to it. He's been ridiculous, though. He's been silly with some of those dribbles that he's done and some of the passes. Aaron Baines has looked fantastic.
Until he murdered his teammate.
Yeah, he hurt Kyrie. But now, did he hurt Kyrie or did he unleash Kyrie? Because now we get masked Kyrie.
The mask.
And that's a very dangerous Kyrie.
Historically, that is correct. Here's my question, though. So one of my best friends at work is a big Celtics fan. And when the Nets won against the Cavs early this season, he just texted me like, hey, I remember what that was like. It's really effing frustrating.
Yeah.
And I think alternatively, now you have the weird thing where he's on your team. You're going to like him. Like, Kyrie's cool. But then on the other hand, you have to deal with him talking like a psychology major after his first round of classes in college and also being introduced to weed. Like, what?
He's a 25-year-old kid. You were like at 25?
I'm 27. Yeah, that was I'm not like that, a few, I'm not yeah, that, that far like away.
Ago, yeah. All right. Well, you probably.
I
let
sucked.
Me fill you in. You probably sucked more than you do currently.
That's hard to achieve. Whatever. But...
Even if you suck now, like, you sucked significantly more when you were 25.
This is really science. Hurtful because now you're telling me that I'm past my prime.
You're getting better if you're over 25. Like, being under 25 is a poison that you just need to work out of your body.
No, I'm telling you, my brand is being trashed. So if I'm becoming a better human being, this is bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to start hemorrhaging followers. No one's going to listen to this. We'll go from dozens to like one dozen. It'll be bad.
Exactly. So, you know, that's just bound to happen. That's how life goes. But no, yeah, Kyrie is just, he's a 25-year-old person.
You feel comfortable brushing off the stupid stuff.
No, I just don't. I don't listen to the ramblings of a 25-year-old boy. Why would I do that?
That's fair.
What good is going to come from me listening to the musings of a 25-year-old boy, a boy who's only been on this earth 25 years, only 25 laps around the sun? What am I going to learn from him? What am I going to deduce from that?
Very little.
As Kyrie would say, 25 rotations of the sun around the earth.
That's
exactly.
I think that it's great. Like, my favorite thing about Kyrie's musings are that he has this feeling like he's the one who thought of them all, like that he arrived at these things independently. Which maybe he did, but like,
I mean, some of the stuff that he said, I like understand what he was saying. Like, he's like, I never said the earth was flat. He was like, I just said, why do we assume? Like, you guys completely like didn't understand, like, it's that you should question things. Absolutely right. Sure, you should. But then, like, he didn't follow up with that. And that's why people got confused and he just let it fester because he's like, oh, no, this makes me a fucking interesting dude. And it doesn't. But he's a 25-year-old kid, and that's what they think at that age, I guess. I don't know.
My favorite thing about that, though, is he's like, I want people to know. I want people to ask questions. So he asks those questions. Then people are like, give him the answer to the question. And he's like, but are you sure?
But like, he does have a good point. How do you know? Like, explain the thing that makes you certain. Like, I get the Earth is not flat. I understand.
I'm not
that,
sure,
but
man.
I don't understand the science behind it. I couldn't explain it to somebody. But if somebody asks, how do you know the Earth isn't flat? I don't, because I've been told that it's not. That's really the answer,
sounds
right?
Sounds like we got a Kyrie apologist on the other line here.
No, I understand that the Earth is flat. I've had smarter people explain it to me. But if I had to explain it to somebody who didn't understand that the Earth wasn't flat, I wouldn't be able to. So they're right to question that.
That's fair.
See, for me, I just embrace ignorance. I'm like, whatever you say. Does it affect my day-to-day life? No. Does anyone know how magnets work?
No.
While we're on the subject.
No, I don't.
Actually, I have a rough concept.
Clown posse dudes explain it, and I still don't know. So that means I'm dumber than them, and that's that's frightening. So, like, especially now, why would you listen to me talk about how the Earth is definitely not flat and explain the science behind that if I can't explain magnets, but the ICP guys can?
I still think the ICP guys are smarter than we want to pretend they are. These guys have created.
They are. Oh, they absolutely.
They've created a world empire.
They are like, they're no different than like Star Wars. Like, they have a fucking franchise. They have a world that they built that is insular, and it's like it's amazing. Like, people like clown on those dudes, but because you know the face paint, the clowns. But you know it's. They're interesting. There's certainly an interesting case study. Jesus, I wish I could replicate what they do as far as making people pay for your services and goods.
Wasn't Tyler Zeller a juggalo?
No, I think that was just a running cast for a joke.
Oh, I don't know. I just took it as truth. So that's good.
No, I think that was Jeff Nomina. He made a
juggalos.
If anyone's going to be a juggalo, it's Tyler Zeller. Like, I think there was just a few crude photoshops of it.
Robert Swift has a juggalo.
You're going to be alarmed to hear, Mike. That's the second Robert Swift reference within the last four pods on this podcast.
The first was Brandon Ingram getting described as the Robert Swift version of Kevin Durant.
He is a frail boy. He is very skinny. I'm worried about him. He's going to blow away.
We need to get him carbo-loaded. Mm-hmm. Actually, we don't. We don't want him to get better. From a general...
It's the LA lifestyle. Yeah. It's the LA lifestyle just driving him to be skinny.
They're not a party.
Yeah, he's too
much. Unfair standards. I think my favorite weird Kyrie moment was when he was on the road tripping. And it was the time where he first kind of unleashed his world is flat thing. And when he said planets, they all called him out for putting quote air quotes around the word planets. He's like, people have traveled to other planets. And then he was like questioning whether other planets actually exist or not.
Well, no, people haven't traveled to other planets.
Oh.
Jade's going to put some conspiracy music here.
No, because yeah, that's the closest one. We haven't flown to other planets. Flown to the moon.
Yeah,
that's not a planet.
Moon counts.
There's getting a buzzkill. I think we've gotten some like rovers onto Mars, right? Like a lunar.
Yeah, no, right. but people haven't met on other planets, so yep. I get it.
I bet Galileo would be bummed to hear this conversation.
No, listen, Galileo could explain it to me. I'd sit there and I'd listen, but he's not here. So right now I just have to say it's probably right, but I don't know why.
I don't have the wherewithal to say anything otherwise, but. Hey, Chase Down listeners, listen up. The Cavaliers may not care about the regular season, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't. If you love fantasy basketball, then you need to try my new favorite app, Draft. It's daily fantasy basketball, but it's not like the other guys. On Draft, you play in real-life snake drafts with other people, just like in your season-long league. Here's how it works. It's a draft that lasts for just one night, and there's no management. Just set it and forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you, so you won't be screwed if Derrick Rose gets scratched at the very last minute. Though, if you're rostering Rose, you probably don't deserve to win in the first place. Drafts start every couple minutes, so you can join one right now. And the best part? You can play for cold, hard cash. Drafts start at just $1, so you don't have to be Dan Gilbert if you want to buy your way in. There's no salary caps, and you can play in a real live snake draft, just like the one you play in with your friends in a season-long league. Come and join me on Draft today. Download the app at any time. Just search Draft in your app store and join a game in minutes. Or you can play right from your computer on draft.com. Whatever you want. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. But if you want that, you're going to have to use our promo code, THECHASEDOWN. That's THECHASEDOWN, one word. That's right, you can play a real money game for free just for using our promo code, THECHASEDOWN, one word, on your first deposit on Draft.
Mike, is there any team in the East, other than the Cavs, that worries you, like that you view as a threat, or are you pretty confident that Boston's going to make the conference finals?
I mean, the Raptors, obviously, I think, are a worry, even though we took them down today. You know, do the Heat bother me? No. Charlotte? No. What other teams are in contention?
Washington.
Yeah, this is some Washington. Good Washington shade if this is intentional.
No, I mean, I think Washington's pretty good, but I don't think... If you put them in a seven-game series, do I think the Celtics win? Yeah, more often than not, I think that they do. But I certainly had enough of them last postseason where I'd like to avoid them if we could. But, you know, do I think they can beat the Celtics? Not necessarily.
Especially with no Game 7 Kelly Olynyk.
Exactly. Yeah, that is tough. Not having, you know, 7 feet of that man
on of taking that up thing. Space.
That creature.
He never got the complimentary Tommy Hines and descriptions like Baines did, so.
No, he's not as well hung as Baines, so he doesn't get him.
Who do you think looks worse in, like, is more ill-fitting in their new city in uniform? Brooke Lopez as a Laker or Kelly Olynyk as a member of the Miami Heat?
It does look strange. Yeah, but no, Lopez on the Lakers doesn't sit well with me.
He looks like a caveman.
It looks as bad as all the Photoshops that Lakers fans create every year.
Somehow he looks like he has a crappy filter on him.
Yeah, you can't tell me some of those stills from Lakers games aren't Photoshopped. Like, he's actually still wearing a Nets jersey.
I just don't understand why the Lakers don't Photoshop their players onto their teams. It's clearly that easy.
Yeah. I think from a front office perspective, once Magic finds out about Photoshop, because he loves Twitter,
the game's going to be turned upside down.
Do you feel do you still feel like that, like having lived in LA for a little while now, like do you feel like an irritation towards Lakers fans? Do you care at all? Like, I do. I have noticed, like, when I've gone there, it is like so clearly an NBA city, which is kind of cool.
No, because what are they like? What are they gonna say? Their team stinks.
Yeah,
like I would like them to be better for both of our sake, but that's not the case at the moment. So they got a tanky team, and they. Me telling them that my team's a little better. So that's how that goes. But nobody's talking about the Lakers right now out here because they know they stink.
No Lonzo Ball like discussions that you're just constantly overhearing?
Some of them will try that, and I'm just like, he's not very good.
Hey, and youngest to get triple double. We know that's the only way to have a good game is if you get triple double.
Against whom? Against who was it against?
I'm not sure it matters.
Oh, the Bucks. They lost to the Bucks.
The basketball. They lost to the Bucks, and I don't give a shit about his triple double.
Hey, Russell Westbrook won an MVP that way last year.
Yeah, and he also won basketball games.
Listen, he had a few triple doubles. The Lakers are like one game back of the Cavs in the standings, so I think legally we're not allowed to talk shit either.
Hey, I'm fine with punching up. I have no holdups there.
Punching up at the Lakers. That's
God, that is pretty depressing.
That's fucked up.
I guess we need them to be good so that Boston doesn't get another top pick, because that'd be pretty exhausting. Can you imagine a world where the Lakers
draft?
Yeah,
no, I'd like them to be.
If that ends up being higher than the Nets pick, I'm going to be pretty upset.
That'd be pretty tight. I'd enjoy that quite thoroughly.
We would not, so please don't.
Man, that'd be rough. And well, now D'Angelo Russell's out too, right? Like he's going to miss a few games with some sort of knee contusion. I don't know how to read that, because Brooklyn last year, they basically said the same thing for Jeremy Lin, where it wasn't specific at all, but they said, oh, he'll miss an undetermined amount of time with a knee contusion, and he ended up missing like half the season.
Did you hyper-focus on the Nets last year, Mike? Did like they occupy your mind space like they're occupying mine? Because it's getting kind of pathetic over here.
Oh, yeah. Every day, especially the Celtics, because I think the Celtics lost a game to the Nets last year, and that made me doubly furious because, A, the Nets just won a game, and B, it's our fault.
Yeah,
so
it sucks.
Yeah.
We did that too.
Not a lot of fun. The Nets, I usually kept an eye on the box scores every once in a while. But yeah, it's a good pick to have. It's a good feeling. But it's also equally frustrating.
It just stresses me out. Like, I'm not used to, like, I feel like I just got like a bunch of homework. Like, I have to watch the Nets. Now I have to watch the draft. And like, this is just a new anxiety for me. It's not healthy. Like, I think I was in a better place emotionally last year. Well, not for in general, but for basketball reasons.
It may drive me to watch college basketball, which is
I watched the last 2 days. It's humiliating.
That's such a dark place to be at. Like,
I'm sitting here talking about Marvin Bagley's Euro steps against Elon.
I think I'd rather be caught. My girlfriend coming home and I'm doing heroin in the corner rather than watching college basketball. Like, I think that would be easier to explain.
Elon is either a college or a topical ointment. It's one of the two.
I don't even think that's a college. I think that's a vocational school.
Yeah, like you could definitely like.
I think that's like that. I think that's like Everest.
If you have a family friend that's a mechanic, they definitely went to Elon. Like they got their skill set. They make good money, probably more than any of us. And then they paid
trades,
a quarter as much.
Trades
money.
Are doing well.
Trades are doing
exactly.
Great. My brother cuts hair, and it's like I think he makes double what I make. He kills me. It's a good thing I like him, or I'd be super jealous.
Does he cut your hair?
Well, not right now. I live in Chicago, and he lives in Columbus. But typically, yes.
Okay, because I was going to say that's a pressure situation.
No, because he just does whatever the fuck he wants. Like he doesn't feel any obligation to make me happy with my haircut. That's like that's like part of the deal is like, okay, I get a free cut, but ultimately, like any decision making, like I check my editorial discretion at the door. When I go,
yeah, it's like hitchhiking. Like, yeah, I can give you a lift. But we're going the direction that I'm going.
Yeah, I'm not like going out of my way to do this.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'll get you to a place, but it's going to be on my route. So
exactly.
So in that capacity, no, he does not feel any stress. Plus, he's like an older brother. What is he going to be stressed about?
Like, man, I would not be able to hold my tongue, though. Like, if I got a bad haircut, normally you just kind of walk away and it's like, okay, well, that was disappointing. Maybe I'll try a different barber or whatever, but. Have you ever gone after him? Has there been like a brawl over a Thanksgiving table?
Thank God he doesn't listen to this podcast or he doesn't listen to it enough because he normally gives me really good haircuts. He's good at what he does. He's his salon's busiest stylist. So I'm never unhappy with his work. Ultimately,
I'm giving you the opportunity to do a live read for his barbershop or wherever he works.
Yeah, so if you want a great haircut, go to Kenneth's in Westerville. Book Nathan Rodriguez if you're a
and
Columbus
scream
resident.
Scream the chase down at him. If you scream the chase down,
he owes me 10% of his revenue for the day. So
I think that's how promo code should work in the real world.
You just
like, you just
them.
Yell it at people.
Well, I mean, ultimately, that's probably like how like most coupons fundamentally work. Like, it's just like some middle-aged woman that like is slamming coupons in front of a cashier saying, like, I deserve 30% off for this. So it's like, it's really not that different than just screaming Chase down.
I guess you're right. Mike, well, before we move on from the Nets, this seems like a good time to play our little game called Net Positive, where you have to gas up all of this week's opponents for the Nets. The first one's pretty easy for you because it is Boston. So go ahead, talk about how great Boston is for, I'll give you 30 seconds.
They're very good, and are they going to have Kyrie back for that game or no?
Yeah, he was just getting fitted today for the mask, and he'll be fine after that.
They're probably going to kick the shit out of him. Cool. But if they don't, it's November basketball. It doesn't matter.
It's kind of a good troll move, actually, for making the Cavs pick worse. Like, this isn't going to stop the Celtics from getting the one seed, and it would bum Cavs fans out. So a loss to the Nets, like, that's a win-win for you.
Yeah, so if we win, we win. If we lose, we still hurt the Cavs, which I guess in the long run,
it's a cruel thing.
Yeah, you know, the best are cerebral.
The next game up on the Nets schedule after that, going from one white city to the next, is Utah. Well, what do you think about the Jazz? Gas them up.
I don't think they're very good with Gobert being out.
How's that's Donovan right. doing?
Gobert's out 4 to 6 weeks.
Did you guys see that play? Did you think it was dirty by Deion?
I just don't get where this whole like diving for the ball if a person's near it is dirty thing. Like, I get why basketball players feel that way. It was like, I'm not gonna not dive for the ball in like a close game.
And like he kind of fell sideways, which I think was what made Jazz Twitter so upset. And I mean, Jazz Twitter gets really wrapped up in anything if it doesn't
Jazz
go in the...
Twitter's on timeout for the whole season after last year. They wet their diapers over Gordon Hayward, and they acted very, very uncouthly.
That's a strong word. That's... you're right, though. And some of them embarrass themselves even further on opening night, and... it's just exhausting, but like
what
if the guys,
oh yeah, with the injury, yeah, they were not okay about that.
Mm-hmm. I think I saw one that it was like, for those that believe in karma, this is the type of thing that they thought might happen. And it's like, what did he do wrong?
Yeah,
like, especially in
his letter wasn't sincere enough. Damn it.
Yeah, there wasn't enough things that made me happy. And some of them even, like, they drew the parallel when Enes Kanter, like, got traded away from OKC. They're like, look how sincere and upset he is. And it's like, well, yeah, he was, like, traded away, and that's kind of his shtick. Hayward made a decision that he didn't want to be there. Like, it's nice that you guys got anything.
Also, don't they hate Enes Kanter?
Like, yeah, they do.
That was weird.
I don't understand why another grown man would think that, like, where a 27-year-old spends the next 5 years of his life, like, is any of his business. Like, I get it. He played for your team, but, like, he's going to a different company. He doesn't want to live there anymore. He doesn't want to work for that company anymore. And you're a grown man. Get over it.
What I really enjoy is, like, with everything that's going on in the world right now, you can act like it's a horrible decision. It's a violation of human rights, basically, that someone chose to work somewhere else, and that it's karma that he broke his leg.
That he broke his he's physically impaired now.
And because he didn't like your city that much.
Yeah, because it's not like he went to Utah and was like, I like it here. He was drafted there. He was kidnapped. He was taken against his will as a 20-year-old boy. He was held hostage by the city, by the townsfolk. And now he got to leave, and he's liberated. Boston liberates him, and you want to say nasty things online, you got a lot of growing up to do.
And the worst part is it came from like some of the beat guys and people that cover the team. So you're right.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of writers that were doing it. And I was just like, what are you doing?
You got to be
way
better
to make
than that.
It so no free agent ever wants to come there.
Yeah. Like if you're not going to treat the Great White Hope well, like, No, you're already having a tough time being Utah recruiting free agents. Like, this isn't going to make things any better.
And people in Boston even did it when like Kevin Durant went somewhere else. I was just like, don't do that.
No,
like people put like making like Durant's a bitch t-shirts. I was just like, what is wrong with you?
My favorite part of that whole recruiting process was Jay Crowder getting upset that in the meeting they gave Durant all the keys on how to beat the Warriors, and they were worried that he was going to share it with Golden State. Like, Boston had figured out how to take down the Warriors. They gave Durant the secret sauce, and now Durant's going there. And
Justin, we're legally not allowed to make fun of Jay Crowder now.
I'm going to make fun of stupid where I see stupid.
He's on our very favorite basketball team. So you're just not allowed. I'm sorry. I didn't write the rules.
Yeah,
those are the
frowned
rules.
Upon.
I'm sorry. It was never up to me. I'm just the enforcer. That's my nickname. Okay. It's not.
Okay, almighty enforcer. Yeah, you had your say. All right, Mike. So the last team that Brooklyn plays this week, I don't even want to hear about them. They're the Warriors. Want to be the 100th podcast to talk about how good the Warriors are this week?
They're pretty good at basketball. I mean, it's amazing that they won the title last year and somehow got better. They got significantly better. I mean, I don't even remember who they lost at this point, but it couldn't have been anybody
Ian
worthwhile.
Clark.
It couldn't have been
Looney.
Ian Clark. They lost Ian Clark. And no, Looney's still on the team.
Oh, Looney is still there. Yeah.
Because he played pretty well.
No, McAdoo. McAdoo. They lost
McAdoo. McAdoo's gone.
Lost is a really interesting term there.
Looney played pretty well last night because I got a chance to catch some of the game against the Sixers, and he looked like he was doing pretty well. Bell, I think, was a great addition. I think Nick Young's never seen a jump shot that he didn't want to take. I think he fits right in with those dudes. I think they got significantly better, and I think everybody's going to get the shit beaten out of them by them. How many times did they lost this year?
They lost a decent amount to start the year, but they're really
three or four, I think. Let me just double check. Yeah, they've lost three games. They're 10-3.
Okay. So I mean, I don't think it's out of the question that they could come pretty close to 70 wins this year.
Yeah. That's kind of where we're at. I just have nothing interesting to say about them.
There's nothing interesting to say about them. They win basketball games. That's what they do. They're very good. I hate them, but they win basketball games a lot.
Fuck them.
Yeah.
They're all of them.
You call it amazing that they came back better this year. I call it infuriating, but it is what it is. I mean.
Oh, it is infuriating because they're a bunch of nerds. I don't like them. I think Steph Curry's a goddamn nerd. I think Klay Thompson is as boring as the day is long. I think,
but he smokes weed, so it's adventurous.
I think Draymond's he smokes hookahs.
That's a good point.
He definitely smokes hookah. But no,
I think him and KD do. I think I remember.
Draymond's just annoying. KD's just a nerd who will do whatever everybody else is doing. I mean, they're all dorks, but they win basketball games. So what can you do?
If they weren't dorks, they probably wouldn't have ever listened to Steve Kerr. So, but no. they're all teacher's pets outside of Draymond. Draymond, I don't think is a dork. I'll say it. I think that dude's pretty cool.
No, he's just annoying.
Yeah. He's definitely frustrating. But I mean, but we've also talked about like how him being such an asshole to literally everyone and like it being so unrepentant about it is like kind of like it like allows you to like be unrepentant and saying fuck the Warriors. Like you don't have to like couch it or be like a good grown up about it. Like you'd be like, meh, yeah, screw those guys. And like, I think that like in a lot of ways, like he is liberating to root against, because it's like you have to like invent reasons to like hate Steph. Whereas like Draymond, like
no,
he puts
you don't have to.
Well, yeah, but you know what I'm saying. But Draymond like puts it all out there for you, so you can just say with no reservations, I effing hate that team.
Yeah, I don't like them at all.
But they're gonna beat the Nets.
Probably, yeah.
You would imagine, which is fine. We're cool with that.
One would think.
One would think.
That would be a very annoying week if the Nets beat Boston and Golden State.
Yeah, I just think I'm just gonna quit. I'll resign.
That would be what pushes you over the edge.
Yeah, it's just like, well, what are we doing here? LeBron's gonna leave. Our pick might be better than the Nets pick. That's just not. It's a bad combo. I'm not ready for it emotionally. I'm not strong like that.
So, Mike, what would you say you would like to see from Boston moving forward this season? Like, is there like a trade or something that you want them to address? Or with Hayward being out, do you just kind of want to ride out the season, let the young guys get better, and then kind of reassess in the summer? Or...
Well, I don't really know what they could do at this point. You know, I think that they have a little bit of wiggle room with the designated player exemption. I think that it's supposed to be like, what, $8 million, and they can trade for somebody in the last year of a contract.
Right.
Yeah.
I see Nerlens Noel sitting on the bench.
I was just about to mention that.
In Dallas, and I know we wouldn't be able to re-sign him, but for 1 year and, you know, give up that and say the Grizzlies pick or the Clippers pick, something that brings a rim protector back, somebody that's going to get rebounds. That dude is sitting on the bench in Dallas, and they had a chance to who were they playing the other night? I was watching the game last night against the Cavs. They had a chance to win that game, and they were trotting out a lineup with Barea, with Dennis Smith Jr., with Wesley Matthews, Harrison Barnes, and Dirk Nowitzki. That is not – how are you going to rebound with that lineup?
Well, at least Rick Carlisle can win. He won't win the game, but he'll win his fight with a 25-year-old.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't understand it. Just like if you have no interest in like letting this kid play for you, like let him go somewhere. Don't just bury him out of spite.
It's weirdly, it feels petty. Like, honestly, like, if they were good and like had like a backup that like was playing great, like, okay, fine. But like you're trying Salah Mejri and Dwight Powell out there. And it's like, it just feels weird and awkward at this point to do that.
Like, why are you doing it to his teammates?
Yeah.
If you're so concerned about the team, like, why are you letting his teammates play with shitty players?
Yep.
As much as I think Noel would be better in another situation, and for that reason, I don't want Boston to get him. I also don't want the damn Warriors to get him. Like, that would be the most frustrating thing ever if they found a way to get Noel.
You know they'll do it. They exist to frustrate us.
And then they're going to start screaming light years over and over again, and our group chat with Sam and Andy is just going to be a tire fire. Anyways, this is already it's been a weird time for the Cavs. It's a painful time. You hope that they can kind of start playing better, but until then, I guess we just kind of have to deal with a Boston centric East, because we know the Ringer is going to focus on them. We know a lot of the coverage is going to skew that way. Wasn't it Sports Illustrated that said Kyrie should be an MVP?
Yeah,
candidate or a front runner?
Stats are worse this year than last year.
That's amazing. I love that. Mike, do you think Kyrie should be MVP?
I mean, I could see a case being made for it if they win enough basketball games, but it's November. It's November.
It
right?
feels like the name of the pod just needs to be It's November.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's November.
Even
I think it's almost all well and good, but it's November.
You could kill all podcast conversations right now with it's November.
I think in January, we're still going to just say it's November. Just if we need to deflect, that's what we're going to say. That's going to be like our safe word to be like, fuck it. I don't want to analyze it anymore. It's just it's November. It's November.
It's what it is.
All right. Well, I like it. It's November. This was fun. Mike, we appreciate you coming on. Before we go, I'm going to give you a chance to plug your stuff. What you got going on right now that you want people to know
about?
Oh,
yes. So I run a show at Meltdown Comics and Collectibles this Saturday. It's at 9 o'clock in Los Angeles, somewhere on Sunset. I forget the address. I think 7522 Sunset. I don't know. Go online, On Deck Comedy LA, across all platforms. Tickets are just $10. It's BYOB. It's a fun time. We got a lot of great comedians. It's a fun show. You'll like it. Just come.
That does sound like a good time.
BYOB. It's a good time.
Right on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. We do appreciate it. To all our listeners, remember to rate, review, subscribe. It's the best way to support the show as well as support our sponsors. So until next time, go Cavs. To the beat.